All right. Good evening. Oh, my goodness. Take two. All right. Good evening. I think you do better. Take three. Here we go. Good evening. That's more like it. Amen. And we got the preacher boys here. Amen. Oh, come on. Amen. Oh, come on. You guys, one more time. Come on, preacher boys. Amen. That's more like it. We got to train you right, okay? It's just like when you knock on doors. You don't go like this. Do you? No, you go like this. Okay, well, you're going to be a preacher boy. You go, amen, amen. Well, welcome to Scripture Memory Ministry. It is a pleasure to be here. My wife, Mary's in the peach right here. Don't be afraid to stop by the back table. We only sell these books for the price it takes to print them. We do not make any money on these books. We're not an evangelist that makes money off their table. I tell people if my name was Bob Barker, not Dave Barker, I could just give them all away. Amen. But it doesn't work that way. We do have to sell them for the price it takes to print them. I want to advertise the same books that we did this morning and give you a little more detail about them. This one here I recommend very highly. This is Memorizing with Preacher Man. It talks about how to memorize, how to review, finding verses to memorize, how to remember the reference. Oh, that's a biggie. I get that all the time. I can't remember the reference. Oh, yes, you can. Amen. And my favorite chapter, the last one, what's your excuse? All the excuses I've been hearing through the years about why you can't memorize. By the way, my excuses are in here too that I had. Okay, so anyway, this is $7. And this is a sequel to it. This is titled Motivation for Complications. What this does is helps you after you start memorizing Scripture. The devil doesn't like when you start learning God's Word. So what this does is give you motivation. It deals with the two modes that you have, the determination mode and the difficult mode. I don't know about you, but my favorite was the difficult mode. Amen? Well, it deals with all that and helps you get motivated to memorize for the right reason. And also at the end, we have what we call the chocolate pudding challenge. You say, what's that? Well, you got to get the book to find out. Amen? And there you go. And then also our favorite one that everybody loves is the topical scripture reference book. This is the third edition. This has got over 7,000 verses in it, over 300 topics, and what this does is help you get prepared for God's work. There's things here to study, memorize, and so on. It will help you in your life. There's even outlines in here in this one. People requested we make it more people-friendly. So we not only have a category in eternal security, but on page 13 in large print, we have an outline of 30 reasons why you can't lose your salvation with all the snide remarks they make with you with references that you can use this. Amen? So you'll look at these things afterwards at the back table and see my wife, and we'd be more than happy to help you sign up, and you can pick up your books on Wednesday. All right, my wife and I would like to thank you very much for this opportunity to come here. Please pray for us as we do travel. We have many miles to cover. God has blessed us with a lot of meetings, so pray for our health, pray for our strength, and our safety. We do not take that for granted. And if you're looking for another missionary support, please consider us. If you have your King James Bibles, please turn over to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. Verse 8, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and we ask when you get there, if you're able, to stand out of respect of God's Word. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, probably familiar to a lot of you, but how much have you thought about this verse? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about the Bible way of learning Scripture. The Bible way of learning Scripture. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, words cannot express how thankful I am for another opportunity to serve you, another special assignment. I ask tonight that they hear you and your word and your Holy Spirit, and not me. I pray that I can be a good messenger for you, and that lives will be convicted, and souls will be saved, and lives will be changed, and children will be raised for you. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As I travel this country, I hear numerous excuses about why you can't memorize Scripture. You've heard of being tax exempt, haven't you? Well, some people believe they're verse exempt. Oh, yes. They come to me and they've got all these excuses about why they can't memorize. And what happens is a preacher like me comes in and the pastor says, oh, we're going to talk about memorizing Scripture. Everybody gets this front, this wall of resistance, like, oh, I dare you. I dare you to get me to memorize Scripture. I can't memorize. Well, tonight I want you to put that wall down and think about it a minute, because I believe that anybody in here can learn the Word of God. What I want to share with you is a few things of what I've learned from my dear father that I use in my memorization program, and along with it, showing you that they're biblical from this verse. And that's why I picked this verse. I love this verse because it's so practical. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. The first part of the verse says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." The first point is this: the Bible should be learned and not just memorized. Let me say that again. The Bible should be learned and not just memorized. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 93, "I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me." There's a lot of difference between memorizing and learning. Ask these kids. All they do in school is they do their homework and they memorize for a test, right? They take the test, and then 2 weeks later, if they got the same test, they look at you and say, "Duh. What happened? I don't remember anything." You know why? All it was in here, and it went right out this way afterwards. Why? Because all they did memorize, they didn't learn it. But I'll tell you what, if they're like the kids I know, how many here know Patch the Pirate? Okay, ahoy, mates. Yeah, I know all about that guy. Well, you know what? We had these kids that we raised in our home, and they told me they couldn't learn Scripture. And we went somewhere, we put one, back then we had cassette tapes, you know. And so we put Patch the Pirate in there, and they started listening to it. We got back to the house, they'd only heard it a couple of times, and they could say it word for word. It was amazing. And I said, "Wait a minute. If you can do this, then you can memorize Scripture." Again, a wall of resistance. The Bible says that we're supposed to learn the Word of God. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 73, "Thy hands hath made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments." The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 7, "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." The Bible says in Proverbs 1, verse 5, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain it upon wise counsels." The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Now, we're going to pick on Pastor Starr tonight. Let's say that he gets in his vehicle with his dear loving wife and daughter, and he sits down in the driver's seat, and he looks at the steering wheel and says, "Hey, dear, what's this D for? What's this R here for? What are these pedals down here for?" And his loving wife says, "Well, I'll tell you what, I think I'll drive tonight, amen?" But is that what Pastor Starr does? No. He gets in his vehicle, he fastens up a seatbelt, and he lives in Brogue, Pennsylvania, and knows how to go up and down them hills, and he knows how to stop at a stop sign in a moment's notice, and if somebody pulls out in front of him, he knows how to put the brake on. He doesn't have to pull over and say, "Hey, dear, can you get the driver's manual out so I can see what to do next?" No. He does it automatically. You know why? He's learned how to drive. That's what we need to start doing with the Bible. We need to start learning it so it's there automatically so that when you need it, you will have it. I would have not had a ministry at the prison as I did. By the way, I was there 18 years. I call it 18 years extra Bible college. Amen. But it wouldn't have existed if I didn't have the Word of God chapter and verse. It wouldn't have been there. Why? Because like Pastor said, I wasn't allowed to carry a Bible. By the way, if you're interested, on my van out there, it's maroon, it has a front license plate that says, "Indiana Preacher Man, 1 Peter 3:15." The inmates made me that 1 year for Christmas. Amen? It's made out of the same material they make the speed limit signs in Indiana, but that's true. So I'm kind of treasure that. The second point under the Bible should be memorized for keeps is this: the Bible should be put in your heart. Let me say that again. The Bible should be put in your heart. These kids that were in our house that learned Patch the Pirate, they put their heart into it. It was easy. Why? Because they put their heart into it. They had a desire to learn it. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:1, "Through desire a man having separated himself seeketh intermingleth with all understanding." There's a lot of difference between memorizing from your heart and from your head. When you have a desire, it makes all the difference in the world. Listen carefully to this. You've got to get to a place in your life where no one makes you memorize Scripture. You want to do it on your own. Let me say that again. This is so important. You've got to get to a place in your life where no one makes you memorize Scripture. You want to do it on your own. makes all the difference in the world. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall I add unto thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor, good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 6. Notice the word heart is all the way through there. I think God's trying to tell us something. Amen? Bible says in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, "My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my laws the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." Now, notice it says, "bind them upon thy fingers." We got any school teachers in here today? I'm going to help you out, okay? You kids might ask, why in the wide world do we have to write our spelling words? Anybody here like writing spelling words? I didn't think so. Oh, my goodness. We got some that love to write spelling words, but bless your heart. I hated it. And then when you got one wrong, what do you have to do? You got to write it some more. Why is that? Because they want you to learn it. You're seeing it, you're writing it, you're thinking it all at the same time. And the Bible says here, "bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart." So, all of my verse cards are all handwritten. That's right, boys and girls. I get writer's cramp. This is the Psalm 119 verse packet. There's about 90 verses in here, and every one of them was handwritten. You say, wow, yeah, it's so, so important. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verses 10 and 11, "with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Now, let me give you a little idea how I do this. I brought these verse cards along. Notice I pull out of my pocket 3x5 cards. They're very handy. Men, they fit perfectly in your lunchbox. Ladies, they fit beautifully in your purse. And boys and girls, they fit nice in your backpacks. And they'll also fit your desk at school, so when you look there, a teacher says, "I got nothing to do." Oh, yeah, you do. You can memorize some verses. Amen? Well, anyway, let me show you here what I have here. These are representing giant verse cards. Can everybody see this? Good. This is what you call a topic card. So let's say that I'm going to do the subject of the love of God. This is my topic card. There's nothing on the other side. All it is a topic card to show me what topic I'm doing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:40, "let all things be done decently and in order." Then the next card would be one of the verses. So I put the reference on one side and the verse on the other. Reference on one side, the verse on the other. Now, some people like to put the reference on the same side. That's cheating. Say, what do you mean? Well, it's like this. You go to memorize the verse, and you're trying to remember the reference, and you say, let's see here. 1 John 4:19, "we love him because he first loved us." Where's that found? Oh, peekaboo, there it is right here. No. You want it on the other side, you see, so you have to separate it, see? That way, when you go through it again, you can go, "we love him because he first loved us." Where's that found? Let's see, 1 John 4:19. See, you can do it either way, you see? And that's why it's so important. Now, let me show you something else. Some of you have been looking at the topical reference book. Let me give an example of how you memorize topically. Here's the subject of the love of God. And notice, in this, we have John 3:16. You say, "preacher man, you have John 3:16 in the verse card?" Absolutely. You know why? Because it's under the subject of the love of God. So when I review the love of God, this gets reviewed with it, and I emphasize, "for God so loved the world." Now, watch this. Salvation. Look what's here. John 3:16. So what did I do? Well, I made out two verse cards. One for the love of God and one for John 3:16 because this goes under salvation. I also have one for the world, eternal security. So altogether I have not one, but four John 3:16 cards. And they're all in their topics. So when I review those topics, they are reviewed with them. And it makes all the sense in the world. So you want to look at the topical reference book afterwards. It might help you a little bit. But I think that is so, so important. Now look at your Bible. It says, "this book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." The second point is this. The Bible must be meditated upon to retain it. Let me say that again. The Bible must be meditated upon to retain it. Take your King James Bibles and please turn to Psalms 92, please. Psalms 92. This is where a lot of people make their mistake. And this is one of the secrets of memorizing God's Word. I want you to see this right from the Bible so you don't think I'm making this up. Psalms 92, verses 5 and 6. It says, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand that. Understand this. You preach your voice, the next time you get called the deep in the word theologian, say, here, give him this verse. Thank you very much. Amen? But seriously, notice it says, God's thoughts are very deep. It's not how much you memorize. It's what you do with what you memorize. Say that again. It's not how much you memorize, what you do with what you memorize. How did John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Acts 16:31, how did these verses get to be so popular? We've got all these, there's over 31,000 verses in the Bible, yet all of a sudden we got these memory verses that everybody learns as a child. How did they get to be that way? Guess what? Somebody a long time ago believed in Psalm 92 verses 5 and 6. They got to John 3:16 and they said, wait a minute, I like this. This is good stuff. They started meditating and said, hey, this is God's simple plan of salvation. And it became famous. Amen. But you know what? It's a lost art. How many times do you hear people talking about a verse they meditate upon and making it famous anymore? We need to do that. Listen carefully. Every single verse in my memory program is hand-picked. You say it is? Yes. They all have to mean something to me. I'm not just memorizing to be memorizing. They mean something to my life. They speak to my heart. They answer a Bible question. They tell me how to be a preacher. They tell me how to be a good husband. They tell me how to be a good soul winner and how to lead a soul to Christ and so on. And dealing with inmates, well, they ask questions like, did Adam have a belly button? It tells me how to answer that one too. Amen? All kinds of things. And on and on it could go with these. The resisting temptation. And on and on. Why? Because that's why I memorize. People have got this idea. They've been brainwashed into thinking if you memorize Scripture, you got to memorize this great big long passage. You're not right with God. Where in the Bible does it say that? It didn't say anything like that. There's nowhere in the Bible that says thou shalt memorize 100 verses 1 week from the day that thou shalt not do so. Thou shalt surely be backslidden. It's not in there. Amen? But the Bible does say in Psalms chapter 1 verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. It is law that he meditate day and night. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how love I thy law, it is my meditation all the day. My Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 15, it says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 99, I am more understanding than all my teachers. Why? For thy testimonies are my meditation. I think God's trying to tell us something here. Amen? Psalms 104, verse 34 says, my meditation in him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. We're supposed to meditate upon the Bible. Now, listen carefully to this, and I'm going to illustrate this. Most people, when they go through the verse cards, this is how they do it. Okay, what's next? And then they wonder why they can't retain it. Then they wonder when they go to talk to somebody, say, da, 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 da. Preacher man, see, I got a bad moment, or I'm having a senior moment. No, 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 you're not having a senior moment. The problem is you didn't review right. When you review, always meditate upon the verse. Always pretend you're answering someone's question. Always pretend you're teaching the verse. You're meditating upon it. You emphasize different words. If these kids would quote John 3:16, they'd go like this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, where's my candy bar? No. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. See the difference? You're actually teaching the verse. You do this over and over again, and you that are shy, that don't want to talk to somebody, will get over your shyness. Why? because you've learned the verse. It becomes a part of you and you're excited about it. You can actually teach it because you meditate upon the words. Now, let me give you an illustration. I brought with me my gospel gun. This was made by an 11-year-old boy back in the state of Washington. This is made out of wood, screws, and nails. You want to see it afterwards. This is a six-shooter. We're going to take a little trip out west. Let's visit Sheriff John Wayne. You ready? All right, Pilgrim. This is my town, and you're an outlaw, and I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And the outlaw says, "Well, Sheriff, I think this gun here in my hips can decide who's going to leave, who's going to stay." John Wayne says, "All right, Pilgrim, have it your way. I'm going to take this gun out of my holster and could have put a couple of bullets in you and get on my horse and ride out into the sunset." Boom! Who's the one that wins? The one that has the fastest and deadliest gun. Question, how did John Wayne get prepared? Oh, I know. He put his gun under his pillow one night and prayed, "Dear Lord, when I wake up in the morning, I want to be the fastest and deadliest gun of the West. Amen." That what he did? I don't think so. He had to practice and practice and practice and practice his draw and then practice his aim. Boom, 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 boom. And then he lives out west, so he's got to practice by the trough, you know, and by the benches and so on. And then he's got to do this number just in case somebody's behind him. Boom! Why? Because it's a matter of life and death. And when you start practicing your verses that way and make yourself realize it's not just a homework assignment, it's a matter of life and death and heaven and hell, it'll make all the difference in the world. You've got to have a definite purpose of why you're memorizing or it's not going to stick. And that's what people do. They look at the Bible as a homework assignment. Kids, what do we do with homework assignments? We do them and get them over and they say, "Hey, can I go out and play? Amen." I know what it's like. Yeah. I'm a kid that never grew up. I still play with trains. I still play with bricks. Amen? Yeah. But I'm telling you something. When you realize that the Bible should be taken a little more serious and have a different purpose behind why you're learning. This is the motto, Preacher Man. You ready? Joe, you heard this the other night. You ready? Get prepared and God will use you. Amen? Get prepared and God will use you. Reference for that, Proverbs 16:1. The preparation of the heart and man, but the answer tongue is from the Lord. That's the motto of Preacher Man. I was requested tonight to play a piano special. I didn't know ahead of time, but I had to be prepared. Amen? It's the same thing with memorizing verses. When I walked into the prison, I had no idea who was going to be talking to that day. But it could have been anybody, and sometimes it was all of them. Muslim, devil worship, whatever. But I had to be ready. I had to be two steps ahead of them. How did I do that? I got prepared, and God used me. I practiced and practiced and practiced. I would ask pretend that Muslim was standing there. I would ask pretend that Jehovah Witness was standing there. I would ask to pretend this agnostic over here was standing there. And the guy that says, "Preacher man, did Adam have a belly button?" Well, I'm so glad you asked. You see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So if Adam's created from the dust of the ground and not from the mother's womb, he didn't need a belly button. Oh. Thank you, Preacher Man. And he walks away, and then a couple of minutes later goes, "Hey, Preacher Man, hey, if you could answer that, how about if you could answer this question and this question and this question?" Uh-huh. Why? Because that's the way it works. You see, they were testing me. Uh-huh. And then before you know it, we're talking about salvation. Amen. And that's the way it works. And I'm telling you, you want to lead souls to Christ, get prepared and God will use you. It's so much fun. When I worked at the prison the last 5 years, I was on what you call a ground unit. I was walking all over the place and they'd say, "Hey, Preacher Man, where are you headed?" And I'd say, "Heaven." And I keep right on walking. The next time they see me, "Hey, Preacher Man, can you stop a minute? You said you're headed. Are you sure about this?" "Oh, absolutely. See you later." Mm-hmm. Well, I'm dropping hints and the next time, hey, can you tell us how you know for sure you're going? "Oh, absolutely." And of course, I quote them 1 John 5:13. You see, what an opportunity. But people can't do this. Why? Because they're not getting in their Bibles, getting prepared for a definite answer. The theme of our ministry is 1 Peter 3:15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Inmates asked me a long time ago, "Preacher Man, what religion are you?" And I looked at them and said, "I don't have religion. I have the Bible." And the inmates that knew me smiled, but the inmates that didn't said, "What's he talking about?" And the inmates that knew me said, "Well, stick around. When he starts quoting all the Bible verses, you'll figure it out." But true, a lot of people just have religion. No, we have the Bible. It's the final authority. You better enjoy it while you still have it. I'm telling you, it's so, so important. All right, so go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. It says, this book of the law should not depart from thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He goes on to say, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Point number three, you must depend upon the Bible for your decisions. Let me say that again. You must depend upon the Bible for your decisions. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Boys and girls, when I was growing up, before I got right with God, you know what I thought about my dad? This is what I thought about my dad. Huh, two, three, four, take out the trash, make your bed, wash the car. Huh, two, three, four, hiya, Dad. Whew. Now, I thought, man, I can't wait till I get old enough that I can sit in my easy chair and ask for a glass of ice water and be King Tut. Yeah, that's what I thought. Then my dad started teaching me the Bible. And of all the nerve, he got to Ephesians 6, 1 and 2. And he said, Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother was the first commandment with promise. And he went on to say, David, did you know that every time you talk back to mom and dad, you're talking back to Jesus? Ouch. Did you know every time you disobey mom and dad, you're disobeying Jesus? Ooh. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And what he did was, verse by verse, he taught me that all of his rules were not dad's rules. Guess who they were? They were God's rules. And it made all the difference in the world. Then all of a sudden the song, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible, meant a little bit more. And Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. A lot of people think that's just a kid's song. No, it's a very important song. Think about that. Think about that. Psalm 119, verses 104 through 105 says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Take your Bible to Psalms 37, please. Psalms 37, a very familiar verse. That's why I'm having you turn there. Psalms 37. And verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by Pastor Starr. Is that what it says? The steps of a good man are ordered by the preacher man. Is that what it says? The steps of a good man are ordered by Dr. So-and-so from the theological cemetery. Is that what it says? It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by who? I can't hear you. Amen. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, but there's more. And he delighteth in his way. Ouch. See, that's the problem with young people today. They have to follow the rules because they belong to the school. So they act one way at school and then another way at home when they can get away with it when the teacher, mom and dad's not looking, because all it is their rules and not God's rules. The Bible says we're supposed to delight in his ways. And that's why people can't memorize Scripture. They're not excited about it. It's hard. Oh, we got a bad attitude about it. It's amazing. They can learn past the pirate, but then they got a bad attitude about learning the Bible. Then they wonder why they can't learn it. I remember like yesterday. I was 11 and a half years old, memorizing verses for Awana. Titus 2, 11 to 13 came up. I took one look at it and said, Dad, there's no way in the world I'm going to memorize all this tonight. To my surprise, my dad said, you know what, son? You're right. I thought I was going to get a six-point sermon. But then he went on to say, you know why I'm right? I said, why? He said, because your mind's made up already. You can't do it. He was right. And that's what we do. We look at the Bible and say, I can't memorize. This is too hard. You know why? Your mind's already made up. You can't do it. And my dad showed me. Started with the reference, saying it over and over again, out loud, and then reference, and then the next phrase, and then the next phrase, one piece at a time, just like you're eating a meal, one piece at a time. Then when you're done, it's reference, verse, and reference. Guess what? I went to Boys Club that night quoting Titus 2, 11 through 13. And now they're some of my favorite verses. The problem was, is I had a bad attitude. My difficult mode was there saying, you can't do this. Oh, but you can believe I knew every car on the road. 50s and 60s cars, yep, by the taillights at night. Yeah. My grandmother lived 10 blocks from Wrigley Field where the Cubs play. To this day, I can still tell you the 69 Cubs and the positions they played and the numbers on their back. Ernie Banks, first base, 14. Randy Huntley, number 9, catcher. Don Kessinger, 11, shortstop. Ron Santo, 10, the third base. And I could go with this. Billy Williams, 26, left field. You say, how do you do that? I had a desire to learn it. It wasn't hard. I wanted to. You can only understand that with the Bible. Only understand that with the Bible. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Here comes the good part. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp and law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are a way of life. Proverbs 6, verses 20 through 23. What? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. That's how much the Word of God is supposed to be a part of us. Let me give you a little hint. Notice it says, bind them about thy neck. Don't overdo yourself. Take a couple of these verses out of your packet and just put them in your pocket with you. Just a couple of them. Or put them in your purse, ladies. Just stick them in there. And then during the day, when you got time, pull them out and meditate upon them. Go through them. Say them out loud if you can. But go through them over and over again. Sort of reference, verse, and reference. Reference, verse, and reference. Reference, verse, and reference. Because rule number one is the reference is part of the verse. That's the first thing you learn. But you do that, and I'll guarantee you in a couple of weeks, you'll have these down pat, and you'll be going to rest back to your verse card and say, hey, this is fun. And then something else special is going to happen. Then God's going to give you an opportunity to use the verses. And you're going to say, hey, this is fun. Oh, yeah, it is fun. You know why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. The Bible says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now go back to Joshua chapter 1, please. Joshua chapter 1. And we'll look at the last point. This book of the law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make the way prosperous. And then shalt thou have what? Good success. This is the only place in the entire Bible where the word success is used. I've just given you right here an ingredient from God's Word. And it promises you that if you get God's Word in your heart, and you turn around, you start using it, apply it to your life, and let it order your steps, that you will be successful. Now, I didn't say you were going to be a millionaire and drive a Rolls Royce. Amen? I'm talking about being successful in God's eyes. Take your Bible to Psalms 37 again, please. I want you to see something. The Bible gives us a plain outline of results here. In Psalms 37, verses 30 and 31. I love these verses. Psalms 37, 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. Look at this. Why? The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Wow. Say, hey, I like that. Yeah. So if you were smart, you say, I like that verse. Write it down somewhere. Don't just say, oh, that's good. No, write it down. And then when you get home, get out a verse card, put the reference on one side, the verse on the other, and put it in a category like the steps of a good man or something like that or whatever, but apply it to your life. That's how you memorize. Amen. 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 I can't hear you. There we go. Proverbs 22, verses 20 through 23 says this. It says very clearly, it says, got to stop and think a minute here. Have not I written unto thee excellent things and counsels of knowledge, that I might make thee to know the certainty of the words of the truth, that thou mightest answer the words of the truth that thou hast sent unto thee? We need to have definite answers. That's our problem today. We don't have definite answers. We're used to hearing Dr. So-and-so on the radio that says, well, whatever you feel comfortable
comfortable with.
No, no, the Bible says we can have definite answers. I was excited because the last few years I was at the prison, even though all I was doing was illegal according to the state of Indiana, they were actually sending inmates and officers to me for counseling. And they said, the reason why we've been sent to you is because we hear that it works and that you'll give us a definite answer from the Word of God. Hello. God's authority makes all the difference in the world, folks. All the difference in the world. And the people don't believe that anymore. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Then said Jesus unto the disciples that believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I love that word indeed. He inserts that in here and say, you're not just My disciples, but you're My disciples indeed. Hey, wouldn't you kids like to be teacher's pet? Yeah, ain't good with the teacher? Well, I got better news for you. You can be in with God if you don't look at this. It says, if you continue My word, then are you My disciples. Not just My disciples, but My disciples indeed. I had an inmate walk up to me one day, and he said, preacher man, are there any hidden secrets in the Bible? I said, oh, you want to know about a hidden secret of the Bible? He says, are there? I said, oh, yes. I know of a hidden secret of the Bible. He says, let's hear it, preacher man. Well, the Bible says in Psalms 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And the inmate went, wow, preacher man, that is a secret. I said, yeah, you go back to your bunk and open your Bible and study that, and you'll find out when you start fearing the Lord, there's a secret here, that God has got a secret here. He loves those that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. And you know what? He took that seriously, and that guy got right with God. Amen? And he told all his inmates about it. They got right with God because they found out there was a hidden secret of the Bible never found before. Amen. Yeah. Now, I want to put this all together for you. Some of you, after hearing all this, would say, this guy must have a photographic memory. This guy must be a genius. Ask my wife. Nothing could be further from the truth. Are you ready? From the age of 7... all the way through the age of 11 and a half, the doctors diagnosed me as being mentally handicapped or slightly retarded. That's the truth. I couldn't learn. I got D's and F's in school. All I wanted to do was play with my blocks and my matchbox cars. I hated school. I couldn't learn the Bible. Here I am, a preacher's kid. And all I knew was just a simple, like John 3:16, Romans 3:23. I knew those, but memorized verses for a while, I couldn't do that. Yeah. That's what they thought. I wasn't supposed to finish high school. I had 4 sisters and no brothers, and a lot of them were smart, especially the oldest one, man. She was one of these girls you envy, you know, so smart, you know, you come home and play for a little bit and then go back in and ace the test. It makes you sick. Well, you know what? They gave me a name and it stuck. They called me Jughead. I was called stupid, dumb, but that's what stuck. I was called Jughead at home. I was called Jughead at school. I was called Jughead at church. I was a failure. I was X'd off, and I said, Lord, why am I even here? I thought they brought home the wrong baby from the hospital. I thought I was adopted or something. I don't belong in this family. That's what I thought. And then, at the age of 11 and a half, I was going to Chicago one night with my family, naming off the cars of the road in the Kennedy Expressway at night, by the taillights, years, makes, and models. And my dad said, wait a minute. The next day when we got home from school, he said, David, sit down. I got some news for you. You're not retarded. I said, I'm not. He said, no. And he sat down with me and showed me a simple method I just shared with you. There's a lot more than this, but he shared with me how to memorize Scripture. And you know what, folks? It literally changed my life. I not only finished high school, but actually made the honor roll a couple of times at Fairhaven. Can you believe, brother, I got A's in Dr. McNeely's class? Yeah. I loved it. But you know, there's more than that. I finished that. And then, I'm not called Jughead anymore. I'm not called dumb, stupid. I'm called the preacher man, the walking Bible, the Bible answer man. How did all that happen? The Word of God changed my life, literally. And I'm here to tell you that maybe some of you are sitting here saying, I can't do this. I can't learn. Well, maybe you ought to try this one step at a time. I make it look easy. I've been doing this 54 years. But that's the honest truth. That is my life testimony. I give you that. By the way, the piano grew up with it. I don't read music. I play by ear. One day I was sitting there plunking out When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and my mom caught me and said, "You can play the piano." So she encouraged me to play the piano, and my dad encouraged me to memorize Scripture. Neither one of them made me do that. They just encouraged me to. But you know what? I wanted to play the piano. I wanted to learn the Bible, and that's what made the difference, folks. And now it's paying off. Yeah. If you'd only understand that. If you'd only understand that. I close with this little story that might make you think a little bit, that means a lot in my life. My older sister Linda, you know, I always envied her because she was so smart. Well, she was very successful. She married a man that was the vice president of the company that owned Osco, bless his heart. And we went to go visit them, and they lived in Utah at the time. And they gave us a tour of where they lived and everything. And I remember them pulling up on their fancy driveway and their nice house. And I remember when my wife and I sit in the back seat, and Denny's driving, and Linda's in the front seat. She turns around with a piece of paper and a pen and starts asking me all these questions, asking me to give her references for the answers. About halfway through, the Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder and says, "Hey, this is the girl that used to call you a jughead, thought you were so dumb. And now she's the one asking all the questions. You're the one giving all the answers." Oh, wait a minute. I'm not Jughead anymore. "You're preacher man! You're preacher man!" We got all done. I looked at her and I said, "Well, I guess old preacher man didn't turn out so bad after all." She smiled. She says, "Amen." And you know, every once in a while, her and her husband support us. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know what? That means a lot to me. Because at one time in my life, in my family, I was a failure. I was the one looked down. I was the one that was most likely to not succeed. And here I am, traveling all over the country, called the Walking Bible. How did that happen? Folks, are you getting this? It all started with Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and the ingredients right in this verse. And if you're here tonight and you say you can't do it, I tell you, you can. If you'd only get a hold of this and get right with God, let the Word of God change your life, you'd be surprised what it could do in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home. A quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.